Amen.
You know, you can preach, you can sing. Amen. Take your Bible this morning. I love this portion of Scripture. I think it has to do a lot with a nation. And I was very interested this morning as we read over it. God just brings new stuff to you, you know, when you're reading your Bible. It's just living. The Word of God is living. And I'm reminded of the Scripture where He says in verse 15 there of Psalm 33, He fashioned their hearts alike. He considereth all their words. I just want you to know that every lives matter. So don't let somebody tell you that people don't matter. Everybody loves them. God is always, He is equal when it comes to that. And He loves us, and He cares for us. And so our country seems to be divided on a lot of that stuff today. And I want you to know that God's not divided. He doesn't consider other people as better than others. He considers all. First of all, we're all sinners. Amen. That's no kidding about that. Amen. It doesn't take too long to figure that one out. Amen. But He says, I'll forgive your sins. You just come in your heart. I'd like to speak to you today about America's greatest need. America's greatest need today. The Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His inheritance. Then if you would like to leave that portion of Scripture and go over to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 2. I'll give you a moment to look at that. Jeremiah, Lamentation, Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 2. And the last part of that verse says, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in Him, and in Him shall they glory. God just reminds us that He lives in truth, He lives in judgment, He lives in righteousness. And you know, if we as a Christian nation could stay with that, we'd certainly alleviate a lot of problems our country has today. In these days of natural strife and international confusion, when the seeds of hatred are being cultivated and germinated in the hotbeds of religion and military uneasiness, I think it's about time that we throw back our shoulders and double up our fists that are roughed with calloused of honest toil, and stand up for true fundamentals of godly Americanism. It's about time we just say, hey, enough is enough. We need to understand that it is our responsibility to stand for that which is righteous, that which is true, that which is justice. Someone asked me a while back, does the Bible teach Christians to live patriotic? Well, patriotism was the light to burn in the hearts of the faithful during the midnight gloom of the Dark Ages. It was a torch that lit the fires of the Reformation. Patriotism was the rock on which the Western civilization was founded. We all, for the most part, know that if our civilization is to survive these new onslaughts of moral impurity, it is because the Christian patriotism has fueled the lamps of the truth, provided the morals for the fight and freedom. We got to stand up. We got to say that is wrong. When I hear a man tell me that he's at his work and they say to turn that music off, he's playing gospel music, and they say you can't have it, want to write him up. He's sitting right there. Then when he brings his Bible to work to read his Bible during his break, and they say you can't bring your Bible to work, we've got a problem there. Because this America was built on those precepts of the Word of God. Let's just face it, America, we enjoy many privileges, but with many privileges come great responsibility laid upon us Christians. Sir Walter Scott struck a note of true Christian patriotism when he wrote this poem. Breathe there a man with soul so dead, who never to himself hath said, this is mine own and native land, whose heart hath ne'er within him burned, as home his footsteps he hath turned, from wandering on foreign lands and stand. If such there breathe, go mark him well. For him no minstrel rapture swells. High though his title, proud his name, boundless his wealth, and wish can claim. Despite those titles, power and pelf, the wretch concentered all himself. Living shall forfeit fair renown, and only doubtless die shall go down to a vile dust from whence he sprung, unwept, unhonored, and unsung. Unfortunately, in America, there are man-made creeds that have been forgotten, which, of course, we find common ground in the sublime truth that this old book and its spirit of those brave men who crossed the seas and searched for a free land in which they could worship God according to their dictates and precepts of their heart. Our America's freedom was obtained with a great price. America's freedom was first given to us by our forefathers who believed in God and prayed for life and freedom. For the most part, they believed this holy book, this holy Bible. I know there was a few that didn't, but most of them believed this holy book. They took the Word of God literally, and that this they believed. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. They understood that. The farmers of this country understood those things. Read what you want, read what you will. Unfortunately, we have historians today, what I call the neo-historians today, that are rewriting our history and telling us bad about certain people that we're not bad, but they're just trying to... They're like... What are those ants you have down south? The other ants that eat your houses. Termites. They're like the termites to the foundation of our country. They're trying to eat it away. Yeah, they're like fire ants too. They're trying to bite you to run. Amen. The founding fathers of this great land did not take God out of the equation of our freedoms. This country was founded on faith. It was baptized in blood and dedicated to the freedom of worship. Let me mention some great ideas that made America the hub of the very center upon which the world revolves today. You know, you're flying in an airplane anytime you go into any country. Radio traffic is always in English, no matter what country you're flying into. That is the international language. I didn't know that until they crashed that plane over in Nepal and killed the Collinses. And those guys were speaking Nepali, and they got things screwed up, and they flex slammed straight into a mountain. Our country has great things that have given to this world. I want to stir your hearts and your souls with renewed national zeal and a closer walk with God. Without such, no nation will ever succeed. First of all, I think we need to renew our gratitude. It is too bad that only one day in this year that we celebrate Thanksgiving. Only one year we are thankful. It's not enough. Americans should thank God every day for where we live in the land of the freedom. We want to thank God every day for the sacrifice and the blood and the sweat and the tears of our patriots. For the hardship and adversities and the poverty and the misery and even death on the part of the multitude of thousands who have died a heroic death for our land to keep it free and to keep other countries free. Had it not been for their standing between English, we would still be living under tyranny. When Germany tried to take over this country with the iron hand of fascism and Nazism, we might not have been commemorating our heroes of World War I and their sacrifice. We could have been marching and praying at goose-step in the heels of stormtroopers and taking our order from them. Instead of the Bible being able to be read in our homes, Mein Kampf might have to be our textbook. Instead of bending instead of bending our free voice, blending our free voices, singing "My Country to Thee," we might be hailing and saluting the swastika. We need to bow our heads in humility and our hearts in reverence and gratitude to the merciful God who has brought our nation and great deliverance. Secondly, not only should we be thankful, but I think we should be grateful for the righteous birth of our nation, of our native land. Other nations were born in blood and plundering conquest, but not America. Our nation is conceived in noble hearts of courageous, righteous men. She is born from holy prayer. It saddened me when the Antichrist and the Anti-God and the atheist neo-historians, as I said before, are at this moment rewriting our public school books' history and flooding American liberty with telling lies about the beginning of the United States of America. I'm sick and tired of it. It makes me so mad. Number three, we should be grateful for our natural industries and scientific researches and resources that has been we've been blessed in America. How many things that we have come to America, we in America have been blessed by so many inventions. There's a lot of countries that can copy our inventions, but few countries ever invented things out of nothing. Because of the giving of God in the rightful place in the onset of American life, God was set above. God smiled and gold poured from the rocky crags of the Golden West. God smiled and the wide acres of the grain sprang from soil Middle West. God smiled and the picturesque hills of the East and yielded black gold in ample abundance to warm the hearth and turn the wheels in industry. God smiled and automobiles and airplanes and thousands of other industrial miracles took place before our very eyes. In just the last 60 years, my goodness, what's that for 70 years? I remember my granddaddy farmed with horses. I remember them getting the first John Deere tractor. Of course, that's the only tractor it should be, amen. Thank you, brother. Thank you. You people aren't farmers. You don't understand that fight about the John Deere tractors, the International tractors, the Case tractors, the Holland tractors. When I go to school, we always drove John Deere. And the Maxwells, big farm Maxwells, they always drove Internationals. And we'd come to school, and my buddy Clay would say, "Hey, you know what? John Deere's green." They go hide in the cornfield when the International goes by. So what he'd say to me. I said, "Yeah? You know what? International red? Because they go hide in the barn when John Deere goes by." And we just kept it up. By the way, here's the deal. My dad retires from farming, sold all of his equipment except one tractor. Guess what it was? International. I was so embarrassed. I went home for my 50th anniversary of the high school last year. Saw my friend Clay Maxwell, who was a great decorated Vietnam veteran helicopter pilot. In fact, he flew the first Huey into Vietnam. And I said, "Hey, Clay," I said, "what's all that green stuff out at your farm?" He just grinned at me. He would not give me the moment, a time of day when I said that. I said, "What's all these green? What is John Deere on the Maxwell farm?" He said, "Leave me alone, Shear." I said, "I know they're the best." Man, I was glad he didn't remember that we still had that stinking International, and it's still at my farm. Have mercy. Can you imagine the last 100 years of America and what has been made and manufactured? And what has been copied? I remember my friend of mine, he was telling about he was in Vietnam, and he happened to go to Japan, and he had this really nice silk shirt, and he wanted another one. He wanted some more like it, so he paid, I forget how many, about $100, had about 5 or 6 of them new made, and got them all back, and they all had a cigarette burn right here. And he said, "What to do?" He said, "You said make them exactly the way this one was." That's the truth. Some people can copy us, but few people can invent And God has given to America the most amazing inventions ever. Hey, thank God for sulfur drugs. Thank God for the polio drug. Thank God for on and on and on and on the different drugs that have been invented in America. Thank God for peanut butter. The other day, somebody showed me, you went out on your anniversary, you got a great big steak your wife bought you. I know you couldn't afford it, but your wife could, but. And he said, I said, thanks a lot. You make me sin. I'm eating here peanut butter and jelly tonight. I want you to know, guess what your mom and daddy did yesterday? Came by and dropped me off a steak. Brother, that was the tenderest steak I ever had. Thank you, brother. Amen. So America, we have been blessed so much by so many things. Just, you can't count all the crazy things we have. Amazing. From the space program to all the other things, I was also thinking that God smiled and has seen it, that the old glory has never dipped its colors to any atheistic, God-hating, enslaving country. Boy, I tell you, we've got close, though. And we need to continue to pray for America, that we don't dip our sails to them. Here's something else that hang on. Let me explain it. God allowed our scientists to give them wisdom, bring forth the atomic nuclear bombs, which are destined to paradox instruments of destruction, but also to deter and save men from destruction. Can you imagine what would happen if we would have dropped them on Japan? What would have continued to go on? I know it killed a lot of people. It's sad. But you know, sometimes you got to use force. Sometimes it's just enough is enough. And we ought to pray for our country, pray for our president, that he knows. And that God, I mean, every battle shot at him, I don't care what it is. Listen, I'm telling you, we beg God for a man to get up and give us freedom. I'll tell you what, I haven't heard any church like I did about 5 years ago down in Texas, they're in Houston, that said all the pastors are going to bring all their sermons and all their phones and computers, and we're going to check them out. They're taking our freedoms away of preaching the Word of God. So you better be praying. Thank God we got a new judge in there. Hey! Thank God we got a new judge in the Supreme Court. We're in trouble. You like it? And by the way, it just may have just given us a couple more years. And you better be praying. You better be begging God. You better be begging God for our country. Begging God for quit criticizing and pray for the man. He ain't no different than you are. He's got his troubles. He's got his heartaches. He's got his sorrows. He's got his sin. And so do you. And there's some things I say things that I shouldn't say. I just don't tweet them. I'd like to see if anybody you could run for president and see what we could dig up about you. Yeah, Mrs. Oboa. She probably could. She'd tweet them right back. Amen. Today, the United States of America awkwardly stands in a very precarious position. Many in our nation have turned and are turning their backs on the Almighty God. Let me remind you that the Holy Scriptures, that this will be inevitably invoked. When you invoke the frown of the Almighty God, just read the Scriptures and history of all the nations that have turned their back on God and what happens to them. As Americans, we must keep the course. I write a lot when I'm writing to preachers. I say, stay the course, brother. Stay the course. We must continue to beg God for heaven's smile to be upon our beloved country. We must stay in straight and narrows. We must prayerfully seek the guidance of God. Unfortunately, as you well know, our nation is bent on the course of destruction. And our nation does not repent. We will go the way as all other nations of the past history into Bolivian. My question to you is, have you ever found America in your Bible? The answer is no. I searched this scripture. I saw one place where it talks about the lion and her whelp. You really wonder what's going to happen to America on the world stage. It is the approval of God that makes a country great. It's not genius statesmen. It's not merely on the American form of government. It's not the energy of its people. But the level of national morals and the depths of national faith in God, that's what keeps America great. A writer poem this penned, "Not so ranks with flags unfurled, nor armored ships with gird the world, nor hoarded wealth, nor busy mills, nor cattle on a thousand hills, nor sages wise, nor schools, nor law, not boast deeds in freedom's cause. All thee may be, and yet the state, in the eye of God, be far from great. The land is great which knows the Lord, whose songs are guided by His word, where justice rules twixt men and man, where love controls the art of plan, where breathing in this native air, each should find joy and peace and prayer. Thus may our country good and great be God's delight, man's best estate." Fourthly, I think we should be thankful for our homes. As a home, so goes the church. So goes the church, so goes the country. Years ago, a man from France came to America and trying to find out what is the answer to this great land. He said, "I went to its great cities and saw the great industrial." He said, "I didn't find it there." He said, "I went to the wooded forest and didn't find it there. I went to the halls of justice and didn't find it there. But when I went to village after village and town after town and saw those churches steeples high, that is the difference from our country, from this country than ours." I was at a VA meeting with a chaplain the other day. I took 6 hours course from them. They were talking about the rural pastors. And they gave a spreadsheet and they said that all the men that have post-traumatic stress disorders and things that have come back, post-traumatic stress and problems coming back from the wars, 49% of those men are helped by ministers and clergy of the local church. Only about 25% were helped by the psychiatrists and people on base. That's interesting. The United States is starting to wake up and say, "Hey, wait a minute, maybe we're going at this wrong." It used to be they said, "No, don't go to your pastor, don't talk about anything about that." Well, I'll tell you something, that pastor loves you and cares for you and prays for you and cries for you and begs God for you. Why wouldn't they be the best people to help you? I'm not saying that we're the only thing that help. But the U.S. government says 50% of it helps. So I don't know, but 50% is a lot better than nothing, amen? In all the world history, no nation has ever survived a moral collapse. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't see a moral collapse in America, you are blind. When they're trying to allow men to go into women's bathroom, and women allow them to go into men's bathroom, we got a real problem. Even the sign outside shows the lady in the dress, the man a pair of pants. Maybe that's a confusion. Never mind, I'll leave that alone, okay? When Rome at its zenith, in her power and glory, sin started to eat her like a canker. At the heart of her national morals, her politicians became weak, flabby, and spineless, a historian said. She became morally weak and spiritually depraved. One night, while Roman politicians were engaged in shameful drunken orgies and reported in the town of Pompeii, the fires of God of judgment were raging not far distant than the bellows famous Mount Vesuvius. As the night wore on and the sin and debauchery became more pronounced in Pompeii, there came a weird, sickly rumble from the adjacent mountain. For years, Vesuvius had been quiet and asleep, but the hour of God's judgment had arrived. As the revelers continued their sinful indulgence, Vesuvius quivered with a mighty quake, and the top of the volcano was blown completely away, and the surging river of flaming molten rock poured down the mountains into death-dealing torrent. There was no hope for escape. The doors of God's judgment were finally closed on these Roman renegades. The lava swiftly overwhelmed the city of 25,000 people and were buried beneath the flood of the molten rock. It was the beginning of Rome's end of a nation. It all began when sin and lust supplanted the love of God, when their gratification, lower appetites took place in noble character. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, God's still in control. I read this morning in Psalm 33, the Bible said He will not always chide. His mercy and grace is great, but His mercy will not always chide. Egypt was once the center of world culture. I was listening to a man telling about the pyramids, the great pyramids. And they still cannot figure out how in the world they ever built those. They are perfectly centered to the north. And they said if they did not have the foundations on those 400 feet pyramids at the bottom, they'd be off unbelievable distance. But he said they are perfect. And how they ever raised 20,000 ton rocks to such height. Their scientists were way ahead of scientific knowledge and research. In fact, they even had places where they knew that they did brain surgery. But the Egyptian civilization floundered upon the rocks of immorality and depravity. They went against God's people. And today, she is leagued behind other nations which have striven to give God His rightful place in natural development. Every American in these days of confusion and moral crisis has an individual responsibility to God and His country. I was at a deal the other day, and I was visiting a family or a church, and they had company in their families there. And a young man was sitting there, and a young guy, just really young, and he graduated. And I said, what you going to do? He said, I'm going in the Army next week. And man, I want to stand up and salute the kid, amen. Aren't you glad that families are willing to give their sons and daughters to America for freedom? I was hoping somebody might squeak out an amen there. I'm so proud of Silas who came in the other night, and he looks like G.I. Joe. Big old guns. He left here skinny. Did the skinny kid come? He was been in the Marines. How many years now? 4 years? Man, he just looked like a torpedo. Wow! Thank God for his service. Thank God for your sake. Thank God for you going over to Afghanistan and staying there for a year away from your family. Thank you. Thank God for you letting your husband go to Korea. Thank God for you men and women who've given yourself. Hey, it's about time we Americans wise up and say, hey, you know what? Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Let's live like men. Let's live like women. Let's live like people that love the Lord, God, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all our strength. Let's start realizing that it is but it is about us. It's about me on my knees in the morning. It's about me on my knees at night for this country and begging God that God gives wisdom for those who are in leadership. And I love the scripture where the Bible talks about over in David, when David, his son, took over his kingdom. And David prayed that God would bring confusion to those that are against God's Word. I think it would be a good idea we start praying for some of these Schumers and Pelosi's, that God would just give them confusion. Mire their brains. They're obstructionists. They're against us. They're against our country. You say, you're getting kind of political. They're getting kind of immoral. They're going against the principles of God's Word that this country was founded on. This is what your country started on, right here, the B-I-B-L-E. Read the Constitution. Read your Bill of Rights. Find out how many times God has spoken to them. Are you kidding me? See, they rape your minds in your public schools. They've taken all that away from you and all the good things that God has given to us from America. Stand up. Read the old history books. Say, wait a minute. How come that's in there? And this says now that he came in to plummet and kill and rape. And that's not the way it was. Liars from the pit of hell. Guess who's against us? Satan. We're still the greatest country that sends more missionaries out and gives more money to missionaries in the whole world. I'll be honest with you, I think that's one of the reasons why God is saying, I'm giving you mercy. But He will not always chide. Father, I pray You'd help us as Americans. First of all, to help us as Christians, and we live like Christians. We stand up for what is wrong. We preach what is right. We live the way of You. Oh God, help us as Christians that we would love You and show our love to others because of You. Help us, Lord God, to walk in a straight and narrow way. Help us, Lord Jesus, to walk as our forefathers walked, who loved You and gave themselves to You. Lord, I pray You'd help us today. Help us understand these things. If you look up here for a minute, I want to read you a prayer that General Washington prayed when he was 20 years old. This is the kind of leaders that America was founded on. O Lord God, most mighty and merciful Father, I, Thine unworthy creature and servant, do once more approach Thy presence, though not worthy to appear before Thee because of my natural corruption and my many sins and transgressions which I have committed against Thine divine majesty, yet I beseech Thee, for the sake of Him in whom Thou art well pleased, the Lord Jesus Christ, to admit me to render Thee deserved thanks and praises for the multitude mercies extended towards me, for the quiet rest and repose of past night, for food, raiment, health, peace, liberty, and the hope for a better life through the merits of His dear bitter's passion. And, O kind Father, continue Thy mercy and favor to me this day and ever hereafter. Purpose all my lawful undertakings. Let me have all my direction from Thy Holy Spirit and success from Thy bountiful hand. Let the bright beams of Thy light so shine into my heart and lighten my mind and understanding of Thy blessed Word, that I may be enabled to perform Thy will in all things and effectually resist all temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Preserve and defend our rulers in church and state. Bless the God of this land. Be a father to the fatherless and a comfort to the comfortless, a deliverer to the captive and a physician to the sick. Let Thy blessings be upon our friends, kindreds, and families. Be our guide this day and forever through Jesus Christ, in whose blessed form of prayer I conclude my weakness, weak position, weak petition. Oh God, our Father. That was your first president of the United States of America. It humbles me. By the way, he was only 20 years old when he wrote that. There's a book called Washington's Prayer. You ought to get a hold of it. You know, we live in a dastardly evil world today. But I'm telling you, that's not the way it was. And I don't care what these liars have tried to tell you and forced you to believe. And these commentators today on their TV and radio and everything try to force all their filth. Let me tell you something. This is still a great nation. This is still a great nation. This is a great nation to fight for and to live for and to die for. But would to God that all of us would stand the test and say, you know what? I am going to pray for my country. Jesus Christ gave us this country. He gave us a place that we can worship freely. He gave us a place that we can preach the Word of God. And we're living in a country today that there's a people who are trying to take away that, just like for Brother Larry the other day. Trying to take it away from us. You can't listen to that kind of music while they're blaring the rock and roll, filthy lyric music. Well, while they read their dirty pornography, he brings in the Word of God, the truth, and said, you can't have that. We're going to write you up for that. Well, just go right ahead and write me up. Because God is going to take care of me. I'm going to stand. So, well, I just don't know if I ought to say anything. And you get your kids in school, something goes wrong, say something. Good night. Say something. Stand up. What's right? I'm afraid we've just been so scared that somebody's going to say something about us. Stand up. Be a man. Be a lady. Say, no, that's not going to happen on my watch. That's my boy. He is not a ward of the state. He's my boy. I produced him. My husband and I produced him. He is my boy, and he will do what I say. You say, well, that's kind of rabble-rousing. No, they're the rabble-rousers. They're rebelling against truth. They're rebelling against things that are not right. God, help us. Father, now help us as we conclude this message. Help us, Lord Jesus, to understand that there is a God in heaven that loves us and cares for us and has given us a Bible to live by, and the dictates of our lives should be accountable to it. Lord God, help us. Help the men and women today that are serving you. Help the men and women today that are loving you and want to do some things. Lord, give us, empower us to do right. Dear God, I pray that if there's anyone here today not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, oh God, today would be that day. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. But I sure want to know that. Let me pray for you. Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you died today, you go to heaven. What a wonderful promise that is. If you're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on what heaven. Why don't you pray this prayer with me and say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart and save me right here, right now. God said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's God's promise to you. He'll save you right here, right now. Let's stand. Everyone standing here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on the way to heaven. Why don't you walk forward and why don't you come and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior at this time.
God's picnic, 4 o'clock on Tuesday. And make sure you read the folks that are here today. God bless you. You have a great day.